Welcome back to Vision in the Valley. We're talking about the love for ourselves, self-love, the love for others, and the love for God, and not in that order. But I'm going to jump back into the episode in which we were talking about self-love. This is self-love part two. So as I'm getting older, or as I'm maturing, I began to take better care of myself. Now, I've always been pretty good about taking care of myself from a mental health standpoint. Been okay about taking care of myself from a physical standpoint, in that I would go to some preventative care appointments. I'd make sure that when I needed to go because I was sick, I would go. That's usually how it would happen for me. But I find myself pushing myself beyond the point of brink when it came to working. Like, I knew I really needed to take a break or step back, and I just could not do that without having a sense of guilt. But a part of self-love is knowing your value, and then knowing your value to the world. And if you are not at your best, you can't give your best. So it's kind of funny, from a woman's perspective, we tend to use one particular gauge to determine whether or not we're being really good or efficient at the whole self-love monitoring system, right? If we are dating, or even if we're married, we know that we bring value into the relationship. And so we're not going to let a man mishandle us or mistreat us. That part goes without question. In fact, there are radars up in all kinds of directions so that any inkling of mistreatment, when we're healthy, emotionally healthy from our self-love perspective, we think that that is the thing. We're not going to allow the man or a man to mistreat us. We'll even go into further by saying our friendships. But this is true for all of our ships, whether they're work relationships, the relationships you have with your family, or friendships. We have to have that same mentality about not being mistreated, and having those same perceptors up and waiting to respond should you get caught up in a space where you're not treating yourself well, you're not maintaining that self-love. So as I said, as a part of my maturing, I've learned to help myself out. One of the areas in my life where I help myself is that I actually go to a Quench Wellness Center. It's in Hyde Park here in Chicago, and it's changed my life. I was always complaining about being tired, working so many hours. You guys can listen to the season one episodes, and you hear me talking about how tired I was and how much I had to do and how difficult it was just to stay focused, even like my memory. But since I've been going to Quench, I not only do I do the vitamin B injections, I also do infusions. So they've got a menu of infusions on there. I get the Boss Blend because it actually speaks to the clarity for brain power, and it has some other vitamins in there, and it also gives me the energy that I require. But a part of my self-love journey, I don't miss an appointment. I am in there like clockwork. I feel better. I'm getting more accomplished. And this has been true for a consistent while now. The proof is in the pudding, because you can hear it in my voice. I can see how much more I'm able to accomplish. But it's a part of that self-love journey. It's important to me that I'm able to do the things that I've outlined for my future. And this is helping me to do that. So you should definitely check that out. Again, it's changed my life. Another part of that is really being able to pull back and tell people, no, I can't do it. Not because I don't want to do it. I just can't do it because time won't allow. I'm learning to manage my own expectations of me for myself, as well as helping to manage the expectations that others may have of me. And this is not just my workplace. This is whether it's my family or my friends, just generally being in a space where I'm okay with saying no, and then I'm okay with whatever feelings that may come up from me saying no, because they're going to have feelings about you saying no, especially if you're one that could be consistently counted on to do a thing or to be in a place. So you have to be okay with saying no when it's necessary. So we all have different levels of awareness when it comes to self-love. It means more than just one thing. It's multifaceted. It doesn't mean abandoning everything else. It just means that we're okay to carve out a space just for ourselves. And I'm not just talking about church. We make sure we carve out time for church or carve out time for school or even some of the other things that we like to do that we know we should do. But like for me, I was talking to my doctor at the wellness center, as a matter of fact, Dr. G, and we were talking about getting my hair cut. I want to get my hair cut. And I was reluctant to get my hair cut because it comes with a commitment. Now, you all know that if we cut, I wear a lot of weaves, and I can do my own hair. I can keep up the maintenance of my own hair or my weaves, in fact. But when you cut your hair, it's a requirement that you get into the salon, you know, at least twice a month, minimally, if you're not going every week. It's a big commitment. And as much as I want the style that I want, and I think it fit what I'm doing and all of that good stuff, I just can't commit to it. So that made me think about what we won't commit to because of the costs that may be associated with it. And it's pretty interesting to me because something like a haircut is just a haircut, but it's not, right? Because that haircut comes maintenance. And you can probably fill in this gap, take out haircut and put anything else in its place to feel the same way I feel about that commitment level. But in Ephesians 2:10, God calls me his masterpiece. He made me uniquely and lovingly. He has great things planned for me, some of which I'll never really be able to conceptualize because he is a limitless God. And even when I say that I'm ready for the next and that I trust him, I still have a natural way of looking at things. So I'm going to put a cap on it. But I do believe, because he told me, that all things are possible through him. I can create formulas in the desert. I can receive vision in the valley, and I can inspire people just through my words. I personalized Ephesians 2:10 for me because I believe it. I know that it's true for me. But if it's true for me, the same is also true for you. You need to personalize it. You need to own it. You need to receive that he's talking about you, that you are indeed a masterpiece. And if God our Father looks at us as masterpieces, if we remember to love ourselves through his eyes, we'll be able to commit to a weekly or bi-weekly hair maintenance. We'll be able to commit to exercise. We'll be able to commit to carving time out just to meditate. All of those things are a part of self-love. And when we love ourselves through the eyes of how he loves us, all of those things become easier to do. And we can say with a surety that we're worth it because we are masterpieces. So when we think of masterpieces, we think about the art that's displayed in famous galleries and museums, right? And the curators go through great lengths to protect the masterpieces. They use all kinds of techniques, fire prevention, flood walls, special glass, motion detectors, special lights, even air systems, right? It's an aggressive approach to preserving the art in its original form to protect it from the passing of time, right? That's what all of those things are for. Well, we are living masterpieces, which means we'll change with time and we move about, so we can't be protected behind a glass wall, protective display, right? Think of your self-love commitments as a substitute for the fire prevention, the motion detectors, all of the things I named earlier. Because if we go through such precision and thought to protect what man made, surely we should protect and maintain God's masterpiece. So listen, we are his workmanship. So love yourself. I can't wait to talk with you soon. Mm-hmm.